This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Practical Devotions, was delivered on February 7th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
We receive our tithes and our offerings this morning, Lord. Bless them and multiply them like only you can. And go ahead and touch eternity with them. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. You're a good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Yeah. Woo. It's a beautiful day, football day. The good thing about it is the ending of football season is the beginning of baseball season. Yeah. And, I know a lot of you like baseball, boring. But let me tell you, the older you get, the more interesting baseball comes. It's just a fact of life. I never liked baseball until I got older. But yeah. So how many of you Kansas City fans? Oh, very quiet. Wow. How about Tampa Bay fans? Very quiet. How many just not a football fan at all? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. My wife was asking me, I think I like that Tom Brady guy. What team does he play for? Oh, the Brady Bunch. She said, no, really? What team does he play for? Brady's Ladies. What? I was just playing with her. She said, well, I think I might watch the game. So we're just staying safe today and, just doing probably chores around the house. Oh, yes. It's February. How's the cold? Doesn't it feel good? Yeah, I can actually wear a jacket. And I don't like jackets. But yeah, I actually had a beanie on my head the other day and it's like kind of felt pretty good. And I bought this thing when I went to the mainland one time because it was cold. It came with a beanie and gloves, which I never wore ever since I came back here. But I wore it yesterday morning and today. It's like kind of comfortable. But yeah, well, every year I do have to talk about doing devotions. I do have to. I don't have to, but I get to, because it's such an important part of our daily life. I cannot imagine what it would be like if I never had my Bible. It's kind of a spooky thought if somebody took away my Bible. It's like that movie, The Book of Eli, when he had that Bible, that Braille Bible that everybody wanted. And I think if all of our Bibles was taken away, I think it'll come down to that. If anybody had one, people would be fighting for it. I've been reading my Bible for the past 20-something years, and every time I open it up, it still speaks to me. It still corrects my attitude. It corrects my actions, my behavior. It's an amazing book. And I think it's the best, most important book you'll ever read. When we do our devotions, our Bible study, I like to follow some very simple steps. I don't want to make it rocket science out of reading your Bible, because then we're not going to read it. I want to keep it simple so we can read it, learn from sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I do this every year just so that we can make sure we get connected and pick up new tips on when we read. So if you're anything like me, I am not a reading type of a person. A lot of times, I have a hard time comprehending what I read. And for me, it takes extra focus, and I sometimes got to have a dictionary with me, and it's like if the radio is on, I might have to shut it off. I just got to just focus on the words. And a lot of times, there's noise around, there's distractions, and I got to learn how to focus on the word and block out the distraction. I think, that's just like life, yeah? There's so much distractions. And we got to focus on our priorities. And so I've been doing this for 20-something years, and you gotta have hope, because if I can do it, I guarantee you can do it. Reading and understanding God's letter to us is not really, it's not complicated. We just need to start, and we need to keep doing it. I mean, even if you have to have a dictionary next to you when you read it, do it. You gotta look up certain words so that you can get a better understanding. You know, what if there was a way to be ready for your day, for your week, for the year, for your life? Because there is. And if you would like to be ready for anything, any trial, any relational problem, any financial problem, if you want to be ready for it, this is the way. This is the way. And everything you need is written for us. You know, when I get to go fishing, there are certain things that I do before I go. First thing I do is I pop the hood of my truck. I check my oil, check my water, check my brake fluid, check my power steering fluid. You know, because all things leak on an old truck, yeah? And make sure I have water, make sure my lights charge, make sure my fishing supplies are in order, and my line. Because, I mean, I've been fishing, and I've been the one to break down fishing and be towed out, you know, 10, 15 miles off on bumpy road. Thank goodness for that Jeep that towed me out. The Jeep towed the Toyota out. Sorry, Pastor Dennis, but that's what it is. I'm just telling the truth. So now we have a Toyota parking over there, and we have a Jeep parking over here. That's what we welcome here. So when we go fishing, we prepare. I mean, one time I went fishing, and this really, really, really good fishing spot. And when I got to the spot, I realized that I had my poles, but I didn't have any reels. I left it at home. So I was a spectator all night long. I wasn't prepared. Never again. You know, reading the Bible can be so beneficial if we do it right. It can have a life-changing effect on you if you dare to allow it. If God inspired human to write letters of communication to help us, to instruct us, to guide us, to set examples for us, wouldn't you think he would want us to read it and understand it? In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul was writing to Timothy, a young man, starting out in the ministry, and he said, All scriptures, whether the ones you like or the ones you don't like, the ones that tell you I'm going to pour out my blessings from you, or the ones that tell you repent, all scriptures inspired by God, by the Almighty, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that man or woman of God would be equipped, adequate for his work, to do everything that he called us to do. So scriptures are used for these things, written in 2 Timothy. But if we read it and we don't understand it, it becomes useless. Bunch of words written on paper. So here are some simple things that I'd like to do when I open my Bible. Number one, I like to pray for a clear understanding. In Luke 24:45, I like this. Then he, meaning the capital he, that means that's Jesus. He opened their mind to understand the scriptures. Because sometimes I read and I go, huh? And I'm like, what? I read and I still don't get it. Sometimes it's like that. Sometimes God will reveal to you what you need to know when you need to know it. Because if he revealed everything to us at one time, I think our brain would explode. Couldn't comprehend so much. Jesus opened these people's minds to understand the scriptures. And I promise, you know, if you ask him, if you ask Jesus, hey, help me open my mind to understand your word, you think for a moment he will tell you, no way, figure it out on your own. He's not mean like me. You know when your kids get homework and they say, yeah, help me, I say, you got to figure it out on your own. Not because I'm mean, because I just couldn't do it. After second grade, sorry, I cannot help you with your homework anymore. Yeah, because they're just teaching so much stuff in school that like I couldn't comprehend. You know, so Jesus opened the minds to understand. The Holy Spirit still does this in our life today when we study the Bible. Have you ever wondered how to understand difficult Bible passages? I mean, besides asking Jesus, and besides, you know, you get to read the verses before, read the verses after, and then ask the Holy Spirit, help me to understand. You have to ask, you know, God says to ask, and ask him to do that. The Holy Spirit will open your mind, giving you the needed insight to put God's words into action. Because it's not just words on a paper. When you read God's word, it should motivate you to doing and changing and accomplishing what God wants you to do. Ask God to help you apply that scripture. When you read, you understand, then it's so much better. When I ask God to open my mind to understand the scriptures, this is what I do, because I'm not one with a huge vocabulary. I say, God, open my mind to understand your scriptures. And one more request. Can you make it crystal clear so I have no doubt in obeying you? Right? So if he tells you to go, make it crystal clear so I know I'm going to go. Even if he doesn't tell me where I'm going to go, I'm just going to go. So I always ask you, just make it clear so I can obey. Matthew 13:19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, you know, you read, you're like, oh, I don't get this, man. This is from the parable of the four soils. Let's see. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. In your prayer, tell God that you are ready to obey what he will show you and that you are willing to share in that application with others. So, you know, if you don't understand the meaning of repent or the meaning of forgive, then the evil one will come and take it away. So you will never do it. So that's why it's so important that we understand what we read. And if you have a Bible that you have a hard time understanding, then get a Bible that you can understand. Number two, meditate on God's word. You know, just kind of like Repeat it over and over and over. Let it sink in. Not just here, but like they say, you got to let it drop down 18 inches from here to here. Because we know people with so much knowledge of the Bible, but it's just not here yet. They can quote you scriptures. They can do that. They can tell you where it's found. But you can see it in their actions. It just never got down to their heart. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law should not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. I mean, we all want to be prosperous and successful, right? But not in the world's eyes, but in the God's eyes. It's a different kind of success. We need to constantly read, study God's word. We need to look at these written words and concentrate and ask, what is it saying to me? Meditation is one key to discovering how we can apply these scriptures into our lives. Meditation is essentially thought digestion. You take a thought God gives you, you put it into your mind, and you think on it over and over and over again. Scriptural meditation is reading the passage of the Bible, then concentrating on it in different ways. So here's some several ways that you can meditate on scripture. Visualize the scene, the narrative in your mind. You know, put yourself in a biblical situation and try to picture yourself there participating. Whether you're reading the Old Testament or the New Testament, imagine yourself in that context. Imagine yourself walking to the Red Sea with water on both sides, and you're walking on dry ground. Can you imagine walking through there without swearing? Like, right? I'd be like, wow. Or imagine water coming out of a rock. Seriously, Moses just said, hit the rock with his staff and water came out. Imagine yourself in the temple with all the gold and everything in it. Well, we probably wouldn't be able, unless you're Jewish, you probably wouldn't be able to go in the temple. But imagine yourself out where David was in the wilderness watching the sheep. Imagine, Samson. Imagine David and Goliath. Imagine yourself there. Imagine yourself sitting on the grass being hungry, and Jesus just blesses some food and he passes on and feeds 5,000 people. Like, wow, this is some good food. You know, how would you feel if you were involved or were you in the situation? You know, it's like, wow, what would it be like? I couldn't be texting anybody because there was no cell phones. There was no electricity, no lights. I don't know. I don't think they had really any good plumbing. What was the streets like? Must have been really, really dirty. Probably feces and stuff all over the place. And then imagine Jesus washing their feet. Filthy, dirty. It's not like you come up here and you take off your shoes and I wash your feet. Your feet is already clean. But when he got down at that Last Supper, put a towel around his waist, filled the basin with water, and began washing the mud and literally crap off their feet. Could have been, or probably was, stink. No doubt it was dirty. I wonder how much time he had to change the water, because I wouldn't want to be the last one. Imagine being the 12th one with your feet washed. Like, hey, Jesus, you could have changed the water for me or before you wash my feet. Right, you just think about the context. Think about what is going on. What must have been going through their minds? When you read the Bible, think, wow, what is going through their minds? What was it like living in a tent? For those of you camping, oh yeah, it would have been fun. Yeah, it might be fun for a few days, but for your whole life? No. personalize the passage that you are studying. This can be done by putting your name in the place of the pronoun, the noun in the scripture. For example, John 3:16. For God so loved Scott. Oh, yeah. That he gave his one and only son. That if Scott believes in him, he shall not perish, but have eternal life. Wow. This is for me. And when you're reading, look for things that Scripture asks us to do. Is there a sin that I gotta confess? Always, Lord, forgive me for just thinking thoughts of that guy who cut me off and wanting to follow him and flat his tires. Please forgive me of that. I was behind a guy the other day. I seen a cigarette butt fly out the window. Oh. I wanted to find every cigarette butt and fill up his car. That right? No, that's wrong, but that's my flesh. These are a promise to claim. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Is there an attitude to change? Hello, always, right? Oh, I gotta go do this. I don't gotta do anything. I get to do it. I change my attitude. Is there a command to obey? Is there an example that I can follow? Or is an example that I shouldn't follow? Is there a prayer to pray? Because you know what? You open up the scriptures and you pray the scriptures. Wow, powerful. Is there an error to avoid? You read David. Yes, he committed adultery. He committed to cover up the adultery. He committed murder and he lied. Yes, we don't want to do that. But in the end, he confesses. Yes, I got to confess. Is there a truth to believe? Is there something that I can praise God for? Always. Amen. Pray the verse, the path back to God. Put the passage under study into a prayer. Psalms 19:14, I love this. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Pray the scriptures. Man, it's so powerful when you can do that. Number three, write out an application. This is so important. Matthew 7:24-27. Therefore, everyone, okay, not just selective ones, not those of you who have selective hearing, right? When I went to the ear, nose, and throat doctor the other day, she said, is your hearing okay? Tell no, doctor, I have selective hearing. I can't hear my wife when she tells me something. It's like, oh, if I discovered a medicine for that, I'd be rich, she told me. Everyone who hears these words of mine and sits down and does nothing? No, and acts on them. Maybe compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them, they will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the wind blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Write out an application of the insights you have discovered through your meditation. Write your application out on paper. Be specific. Don't write something down, you'll soon forget. If you don't write it down, you'll soon forget it. How many of you have something really good come to your mind and you don't write it down, and 10 minutes later, oh, what was it? What was it that, oh, God likes to speak to me when I'm driving. And he does that, and it's like, I can't use my phone. It's against the law. I can't write it down. So it's like I got to rush to the nearest place and write it down. And so I remembered. And I was driving the other day, and I was writing. I'm writing a message on forgiveness. And then he told me, forgive until they see Jesus in you. And I was like, oh, that is good. I got to write this down. So I'm keep repeating, forgive until they see Jesus in you. Forgive until they see Jesus in you. So I finally got to my destiny and I wrote it down. I was like, ooh, thank God I didn't forget that one. Jeremiah 30, verse 2. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words which I have spoken to you in a book. That's why we have this journal that we keep. Most of us who read with us together, we write in our journal every time we read. This is a good thing to do, especially when you got a spiritual truth. You can put it down on paper. And the thing is, when you write it down on a piece of paper or in a book, you know, and you can say, what was that? Some God spoke to me really something really, really good the other day. What was it? And if you didn't write it down, that is probably floating around in outer space someplace. But if you wrote it down in a book, you can just turn back and refer to, oh, this is so good. That's why in my journal, I leave the first few pages blank because I put a table of contents in there. So that I number each page and I title it and I put the scripture. When I need to find something, I just go to the front page and I look, oh, there's the one. And that's a good thing to do. When we need to, we need to remember some things when we're writing out our application. You know, the application that we write, it should be personal. It should be for you, not for your spouse. Okay, James, not for your wife. All right, you write it out for you, not for your neighbor. Not for your coworker, but for you. Your application should be practical, or it could not be practical. You could say, you know what, my God is big. My God is really big. So kind of, you can use your judgment, like practical, meaning practical, like, hey God, you want me to go start a church? Yeah, okay. Scott, I want you to go start a church in the Philippines. That's not practical because I don't speak Filipino. So it could be practical or could be not. It depends, yeah? How much you trust in God to do in your life and how much you're willing to let God use you. It would be good if it's something that you can do. Like last year, Scott's practical thing was like, hey, I want to read the Bible from cover to cover in a year. And that was practical, that was reasonable, and he accomplished it. You know, you gotta, it's good that you can kind of make it, your application possible. It's like, God, I wanna exercise this year. Don't laugh at me. But I do wanna start sometime soon. You know, your application should be doable. Or not, because if it's doable, yeah. If it's too simple, it's like, God, I just want to get up and go to church today. And that's great, it's doable. But maybe you need to say, God, I want to go to church and I want to start serving somewhere. Challenge yourself. And what application should be measurable, set up some kind of plan. Some sort of follow-up to check, see if you're on the right path. If you're reading every day like you wanted to. Measurable so that you know what you have done. This means you have to set some goals and some plans. It would be good if it's measurable that you can say, hey, check on me from time to time to make sure that I'm still reading. Or maybe check on me, maybe check my pulse, See if, am I still alive? You guys are quiet. Check your pulse. See if you're still alive. Pinch yourself to see if you're awake. Did I put you to sleep yet? Yeah. You gotta. So, and then number four, memorize scripture. I mean, I memorize a lot of scripture, but a lot of times I forget the address. I know this is what the Bible says, but where is it? Deuteronomy 6. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. How many of you parents of young children read scriptures throughout the day in your house when they're home? All right, we got one. Thank you. Anybody else? Back there, right there, Kari. Yeah, anybody else? Good job. Okay. Joel, you get like 15 kids in your house. You need to be reading. No point to your wife, Joel. You need to be reading scriptures. We always did that in when my children were growing up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. So when your kids write scriptures on your walls and crown, they'll get mad. Do not get mad. So that you can continue to meditate on the passages. How many got scriptures on your walls, like in the picture frame? Yeah, isn't it nice? You help memorize them. Every day you look at those scriptures on your wall, I bet you you pretty much got it memorized, yeah? Right? It's good. The 23rd Psalm, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Right? Trust in the Lord with and lean not on your in all your ways, and he will make your path, or he will direct your path. See? Where is that from? Yes, the Bible. Yes. Proverbs. Because it was on the wall at the church. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. It's on the wall. Put them on your wall. So, and then when you memorize them, put up a new one. Yeah? Isn't that great? When we like to do our devotions, we like to do soap. Scripture, observation, application, prayer. So we do that every day we read the Bible. I'm going through a class now, and he's trying to teach us on doing expository preaching. And he said, soap every verse. Holy smoke. Crazy. Soap every verse. Every verse of a book that I want to preach to, soap every verse. Like, oh my gosh, I'd be so clean from soap. The thing is, God gave us this word, his word, his love letter to each and every one of us. And he wants us to read it, understand it, apply it, live it. That's what he wants us to do. If you need help with reading, then let us know. We got life groups at Blaine's in the industrial area, at Pastor Frank's house, at my office, and we could always use more. We got like about 5 life groups, we call it, because we read through the life journal. And if you want to learn how to read, I mean, we will. I mean, you can sit with Scott, you can sit with Walt, Marshall, Vivian, James, Jennifer. They'll all show you how to. So, Pastor Dennis, they also show you how we do it. It's not hard, it's simple, but it's very a good way so that we can get into the Word. Amen? Okay, you can put away your Bible, put away your notes. I'm going to who's doing communion? Walt. Okay, Walt, you can come up here, Walt. Sorry, I wasn't on the same page, but everybody got their communion cups. Anybody didn't get one? No? Everybody got one? It's on. You got yours. All right, you prepared. Would you welcome Brother Walt?
Hey, good morning, New Hope. Glad to be here this morning. I tell you what, what a profound message. And I've definitely learned a lot through the mentorship of Pastor Scott regarding, you know, reading and actually consuming the Word. You know, the Bible talks about the Word as being the bread of life. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. This is God speaking, you know. I know you guys have heard it, you know, it's the Bible, basic instructions before leaving this earth. And it is our owner's manual. And the bad thing for guys is, you know, we hate reading the manual. We think we can fix them ourselves. So today is awesome because we get to take communion. And a lot of people think about, you know, why do we do communion? And it's like, oh, is it just because it's the beginning of the month? Is it a special religious ritual that we just go through because it's something that our parents may have done or something that has been embedded in our culture? I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. Jesus, you know, commands us when he instilled the supper, the Last Supper. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So he says, you know, do this to remember. It is for us to reflect and to remember that he ushered in a new covenant. Now, the old covenant was a covenant of the flesh. You know, it was given to the Jewish people from the patriarch Abraham. You know, he was promised the land and evidence of it. It was of the flesh because the covenant was based on circumcision. It was a way to distinguish the Jews from the Gentiles. I mean, imagine, I wonder how they would check, you know, if you had to go into the synagogue and show your ID, you know what I mean? Brings a whole new meaning to the word, I guess. Let me check your card, you know. But it was a reminder, every time a male who was the head of the household went to relieve himself, he was reminded of this covenant. It was a visual covenant. It was a covenant of the flesh. It was to give them a promised land. In Moses, it brought the Ten Commandments, the law, right? The rules. It was God commanding, do what I say. It is the old covenant. Because it was an atonement for the sin that had happened that separated us from God. It was a way for us to be covered, but something had to die. It was the blood that had to be sacrificed. The first covenant that ever happened was in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve had sinned and disobeyed God. And they sold fig leaves, you know, to hide themselves. For they knew that they were ashamed. They became aware. They became self-aware. But God didn't want to leave them there with the fig leaves to remind them of the shame. So he clothed them. He sacrificed the first animals to cover the sin of disobedience of mankind. But Jesus came, you know, and brought and ushered in a new covenant. And it wasn't a covenant of the flesh. It was a covenant of the spirit. It was a circumcision of the heart. But something still needed to be sacrificed. And it was a covenant that came with a promise. We too have a promised land. It's a promise of a new kingdom. God's kingdom that is going to be coming upon this earth. That is our hope. That is our destiny. That is the reward for this covenant. But something still had to die. Something had to be sacrificed to pay for the atonement of sin. The elements that we have are the bread and the blood. The bread representing his body that was broken. A body that had to be broken. The Bible says, and I don't have the chapter and verse, but he's in Isaiah. I got the neighborhood. He was beaten beyond recognition. He was marred more than any of the sons of man. Why did it have to be so brutal? Because when Adam had sinned, he had lost the image of God in him. So Jesus had to be broken and bruised and marred beyond recognition to pay for the atonement that we had lost. His blood is what washes us clean. His body was broken because of sin, and his blood was poured out for our redemption. So we do this just here as more of a tradition, as a way to mark it at the first Sunday of every month, to take time to remember. And it's not about having a specific bread or wine. If you're at home, you know, you're eating your bowl of Cheerios, grab a Cheerio, grab some milk, grab a piece of potato chip or a soda pop. But remember why we do it. Remember the price that was paid. And what's so amazing is the value of something is determined by the price someone is willing to pay for that. So you are worth the sacrificial blood and broken body of Jesus Christ. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And it delighted the Father to punish him because he knew you are worth it. You are worth it. And we take this time to remember that. We take this time to say, thank you, Lord, for the price that you paid. Out of 1 Corinthians 11:23, go ahead and take your elements. This is Paul preaching. He says, for I received from the Lord that also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, and we thank you, Father, he broke it. That's what I like to do. To help me remember what was done. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead and take. In the same manner, he also took the cup. And after supping this cup, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. As often as you drink it, remember. You say, don't have to be every month. Can be whenever you think about me, whenever you need to, whenever you want to draw close to me. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You proclaim the Lord's death. What are you doing? You're celebrating it. You're proclaiming it. You're not just being washed white as snow with sin from your sin. And death. You see, you're proclaiming your salvation. You're proclaiming the righteousness of our Lord God. You're proclaiming the love of the Father who sent his only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life. The first time he came, he did not come to condemn the world, but through him, we might be saved. And he says, Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so I also send you. As the Father sent me, I send you. How did the Father send him? For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. It was because of love. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that we are able, Father God, to take part in this communion, Lord, that we are joined as one, Lord God. As Jesus Christ is in you, the Father, we too are one with you, Father God. You came to cleanse us, Lord, so that you can put your spirit back inside of us. And you send us forth into this world, Lord. We celebrate that and we remember you today, Lord God. We remember the price that was paid, Lord God. We remember the sacrifice that it cost you. You bankrupt heaven to gain us back, Father. Let us never take that for granted, Father God. Let us always remain steadfast in our faith, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you have for us, Lord, as evident by your Son and the cross, Father. It is from there that we live, Father God. It is from there that we find our identity, that we find our purpose, that we find our fulfillment, that we find our destiny in you, Christ Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Lord God. And I just pray, Father, you continue to bless your people, Lord. We continue to sanctify the works of their hand, Lord God. We continue to strengthen them, Lord. We continue, Lord God, that you bless them, Father God. We continue, Lord God, that your healing come upon your people, Father God. You know the needs that they have, Lord God. And we lay them down here at your feet at the altar, Lord God. And we say thank you, Father God. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace that abounds in you each day with the morning. We just give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And in Jesus' holy name we pray. All God's people say, amen.
Thank you all. Woo! So, I will dismiss you. Go and not watch football, watch football, whatever you want to do. Beautiful day. This is probably like the best day to go fishing because everybody's going to be inside watching football. Nobody's going to be at the beach, so you might want to, ladies, you might want to go shopping because the mall probably going to be empty. Or actually, might have only ladies shopping. So, Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you so much for your word, for your Son. Thank you for this fellowship that we still get to come and gather and worship you. Keep us safe from this COVID-19. Let us not be the cause of the spreading of it, but let us share the hope of the cure of it, which is Jesus Christ. So we thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful afternoon.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kaʻau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.